Thank you, George. That was superb. We now move to our next speaker, and there's sort of a natural flow here because as George Nash is one of our premier historians of ideas, our next speaker is probably at this point the premier historian of conservative political activity in the United States, and there is a nexus here that we all should consider, even in a semi-academic setting such as this. If you study history and the history of ideas and the history of previous civilizations, you can learn a lot about contemporary matters. And I remember one discussion we had here that a speaker talked about decadence in the Roman Empire and talked about the example of Caligula, who had appointed his horse, Incitatus, to the Senate in Imperial Rome to qualify the horse to become a consul. And so, you can see Caligula was at least working within the form there. And so you got to give him a little credit for that. But by and large, the appointing of his horse to the Senate suggested a certain decadence. And so you can see that that's kind of bad. Then I thought about it a little further and said, well, at least he appointed the whole horse. So you see the relevance of history. Now, our next speaker is indeed an accomplished historian of the modern conservative political movement. He's written marvelous biographies of Ronald Reagan, Barry Goldwater, the best book on Goldwater ever written, and also an excellent book called The Conservative Movement. And he is also a close student of our honoree, Vic Milioni. Would you please welcome at this time Lee Edwards. Lee.
Well, thank you, Stan. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, fellow conservatives. It's such an honor and a pleasure to join with George and Ken and Stan and others here this evening to say a few words about our honoree. Now, as George has said, Vic Milioni was obliged to play many different parts in his 3.5 decades with ISI. Campus organizer, program initiator, publisher, fundraiser, and CEO, but I think that the role that Vic most enjoyed was that of teacher. And be forewarned if you ask Professor Milioni a question about one of his favorite subjects, like the importance of reaching students in the seed time of their youth, or the matrix of social and cultural values that undergird and maintain a free society. For you will get a full and far-ranging answer, including, in all likelihood, quotations from Thomas Jefferson, C.S. Lewis, Richard Weaver, Ortega y Gasset, Jacob Burckhardt, John Henry Newman. Persuade an ISI benefactor to continue his support in the midst of a recession. Well, how is it possible, you ask yourself, for anyone to remember so many pertinent quotations and at such length? To read, as I have, Vic's correspondence to friends and colleagues, trustees, and students is to participate in the continuing seminar of a great teacher. For example, 1955, Vic wrote Bill Buckley that he had been contacting many foundations about ISI, but had received little support. As a result, he said he would no longer complain about the Ford and the Carnegie and Rockefeller foundations, Well, I admire more and more those foundations and the wealthy men who support those organizations who advocate socialism than those who are neither concerned one way or the other. But in the midst of that difficulties, Vic demonstrated over and over again that he was no quitter. He stayed in the race, running as hard as he could for 30 years and more, because he believed in ideas, as we do, like limited government and individual responsibility, the free market economy, and moral excellence. In the 1960s, he acknowledged that many students were not aware of any convincing alternative to socialism. The proper response, Vic argued, was to provide more students with the awareness that man is a God-created being, possessed of reason and the ability to choose. Further, that the productive capacity of the free enterprise system, relying on individual initiative and wisdom and self-control, energized by competition, far exceeds the productive capacity of any system relying on coercion, government planning, and the wisdom and initiative of a few government officials. ISI's primary emphasis was on youth, he explained, because, as Tocqueville wrote, every fresh generation is a new people. They're not born with the right ideals, nor will they necessarily require them with experience. They must be educated to them, which is what ISI did through the Intercollegiate Review and summer schools and the Weaver Fellowships and the campus lectures, all programs initiated under Vic Milione that have literally changed the minds and lives of thousands of young men and women. Vic also had a rare ability to see through the curtain of present events to what lay beyond. When many observers were saying, for example, in 1971, that the crisis on the campus had passed, Vic took exception. He wrote, quote, "It's hazardous to associate revolution or radicalism only with its consequences, open hostilities, burning buildings, fighting at the barricades." He quoted Macaulay, quote, "On the consequences of moral changes which have gradually passed to the mass of the community." Vic warned that a transition in value commitments is taking place on campus and beyond. This is the real crisis, he said. And the answer to such radicalism was to, quote, "stand firm upon the truths, standards, and institutions of our culture that are time-tested and of proven worth." Richard Weaver, whom Vic respected perhaps more than any other conservative writer of our time, was correct about the abiding power of ideas. "If we don't like the consequences," Vic said, "we must make every effort to ensure that youth will be exposed to better ideas. There is no other way. The regeneration must take place within the individual, at least in a free society. And you cannot get out of the individual what you didn't put in." So it was Vic's unyielding adherence to fundamental principles, to the power of right ideas, that kept ISI going through the lean years and the tough times of the 1950s and 1960s and 1970s, when a liberal could call a conservative a son of a birch and get away with it. And when it came time for Vic to step down after more than 30 years of overseeing programs that had reached hundreds of thousands of students and teaching people young and old the value of the permanent things and turning down handsome contributions if they didn't match the mission of ISI, he looked out over the black-tied audience at his retirement dinner and said, "The hell with the sweet talk, where's the watch?" Well, that was Vic Milioni at his most dissembling, for in fact he is capable of the sweetest talk this side of heaven. As when he wrote at Christmas time to Al Campbell, an old friend and the father of our esteemed secretary, that he was reminded of Emerson's observation that a friend may be well reckoned the masterpiece of nature. Or when Dick Allen, Richard Allen, our good friend, had lost a close friend, prompting Vic to quote from Seneca's Morals that, quote, "The day which we fear is our last is but the birthday of our eternity, and it's the only way to it." When David Collier, the longtime editor of Modern Age, died, Vic wrote that David had produced a journal of consistent high quality of scholarship in the defense and extension of the patrimony of our Western culture and our peculiar American experience within that culture. David's strength was that he never lost this overarching view in his selection of essays. Even so, Vic Milioni never lost his overarching view of the mission of ISI, to educate for liberty, regardless of the intellectual, moral, economic, and political turmoil around us. Another favorite of Vic's, the diplomat and writer Charles Malik, held the following: "There are three unpardonable sins today: to be flippant or superficial in the analysis of the world situation, to live and act as though half-hearted measures would avail, and to lack the moral courage to rise to the historic occasion." Well, Vic Milioni needs no pardon for these cardinal sins. He's never been superficial. He certainly disdains the half-hearted measure, and his moral courage has always been without question.